How many is happy to be in the house of the Lord today? Old saints, seasoned saints used to say, he woke me up this morning, started me on my way. Lord, have mercy. Listen, today with the help of the Holy Spirit, I want to continue our sermon series entitled Changing the Game. And I want to go ahead and apologize right up front. We will not have the screens today. And so if you have a device, it's probably going to be good that you pull it out, your phone, iPad, whatever, because I want to hit you with some scriptures that I want you to see. And I believe that is another attack of the enemy for today, because you being able to see the scriptures is going to be everything. Amen. So today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I want to continue our sermon series entitled Changing the Game. And I want to start out by quoting a few scriptures of someone who completely changed the game. In the book of Acts, chapter 3, verse number 8, I believe it's in the New International Version, the NIV, it says, Acts chapter 3, verse number 8, but Saul began to destroy the church, going from house to house. He dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. Now, the fact that Saul pursued both women and men, not just men alone, indicates he was inflicting the most severe punishment whenever possible on whomever possible. For all intents purposes and in purposes, Saul was out of control and his quest and was on a quest promoting genocide. His zeal for both God and his Jewish heritage was so strong that he was considered one of the zealots. It's interesting about Saul, because Saul really didn't have a problem with God. He didn't have the problem with God. He wasn't mixed up about where God was. He was mixed up in his doctrine. Amen. And you got to be careful, because there's a few things in the church that we can negotiate about. But the one thing that we can never negotiate about, one thing that we can never compromise, is the doctrine. Amen. The doctrine is our foundation. It's on what we stand. A product of the Maccabees, who often employed violence, in his mind, Saul's mind, cleansing Jerusalem. His cleansing Jerusalem of Christianity ensured the preservation of the law and that God would be pleased. His hunt for Christians was so intense and purposeful that he obtained letters from the priest in Jerusalem to send to the synagogues in other towns. In other words, we call them warrants. Yeah, we call them warrants. And the letters would ensure the legality of his actions and cover his misdeeds. Now, I want you to get this. So you have to understand that Saul did not believe the good news that Jesus had been the long-awaited Messiah. And since he didn't believe that, he viewed the Christians, or back then they called it the way, he considered them to be blasphemous, deceitful, and a threat to Judaism. Let's look at some of the things that Saul of Tarsus had to say about his ways. In the book of Acts, chapter 22, verses 4 through 5, the book of Acts, chapter 22, 4 through 5, and I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. And again, I apologize that we have to, but every now and I remember church when there wasn't no screens. Amen. And back then they didn't wait for you, because you should be able to know where the book of Acts is. You should be able to know where the book of Galatians is. But back then we was a different type of Christian. Amen. Back then we read the Bible at home. Yeah, we read the Bible at home. We didn't give more time to movies and Netflix and Hulu and all of that than we gave to the Lord. Acts chapter 22, verses 4 through 5, and I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. And it says, this is now Paul, but he's talking about when he was Saul. Because how many of you know that when you have an experience with Jesus, it'll change your name? Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord, have mercy. And this is what he says. He says, "And I persecuted the followers of the way." Watch this. "Hounding some to death, arresting both men and women, and throwing them in prison. The high priest and the whole council of elders can testify that this is so." In other words, he says, "I got some witnesses, and they're credible. We might not get along, but that don't mean that they don't know the truth." He says, "I have some witnesses." He says, "For I received letters from them to our Jewish brothers in Damascus, authorizing me to bring the followers of the way," Christianity, from there to Jerusalem in chains to be punished. In other words, you know, if you could picture this with your Holy Ghost filled mind, everybody that he caught, everybody that was in the synagogues, everybody that he knew to be Christians at the crib, that was in their cribs, he had the right to go into the synagogues as well as their crib and chain them up, and they would have to march from Damascus to Jerusalem in chains. And that seems cold, but what's colder is, could you imagine in chains what they were thinking about? What's going to happen to us when we get there? I think that if it was me, I'd rather you just go ahead and take me out right then. Don't give me no few nights journey. You know, I'm starving. I know you ain't feeding me. You ain't giving me no water. I'm dying of thirst. And you're probably putting your hands on me all the way through the walk. Just go ahead and take me out now, because all of that going on. And I'm still discouraged with the thought of what's going to happen to me when I get there. This man has a legal right to punish me. Sadly, arresting Christians was not Saul's only sadistic goal. He also tortured them and put them to death. Let's look at the book of Acts, same book, chapter 26, and we're going to read verses 10 through 11. As y'all look for that, I'm going to steal the opportunity to have a drink of water. Is that all right? Acts chapter 26, verses 10 through 11. And the Bible says, "Indeed," this is Saul, well, Paul then, talking about Paul now, talking about Saul then himself. "Indeed, I did just that in Jerusalem. Authorized by the leading priest, I caused many believers there to be sent to prison. And I cast my vote against them when they were condemned to death. Many times I had them punished in the synagogues." Get this. He didn't say I took them someplace. He said, "I'm going to break you where you worship." Whew. I want you to understand how that Christianity back then is so different from this Christianity today. And the difference is, wasn't no punk in their blood. You understand what I'm saying to you? In fact, we could find all through the New Testament, especially in the book of Acts, when it talks about how they would beat the disciples and how they would beat the apostles and how they would, you know, come up against them and this, that, and the other. And the disciples and the apostles would walk away considering it a privilege and an honor to be beat on the strength of Christ. Now tell the truth and shame the devil. If some people put their hands on you, legally had the right to put their hands on you because of what you believed in, how long would you continue to believe in it? And how many of you would truly continue to believe in it openly? One time, this is how cold the church was then, that they had been threatened. They had beat on them a little bit, and then they got threatened, do not preach Jesus again. And these and Peter, I believe it was Paul and Peter, walked out, and this was the prayer. Lord, give us the ability to be more bold. That even though we know how they're going to come up against us, that won't scare us and stop us from preaching the word of God. Let me tell you something, 21st century westernized church. The reason why we ain't making no difference in the earth realm for real, is because our sellout to Jesus is actually shallow. We are powerless in the earth realm. Because everything is more important than the thing. You understand what I'm saying to you? You know, there's parts of the world today that when they get the Bible, first of all, they have to sneak the Bible. And this is what they do. They memorize the Bible and then they pass it on. Because if they get caught with the Bible, they're immediately going to be killed. This is in 2023. And so they memorize the Bible and then they pass it on. Hold on, wait a minute. Let me put the truth in it. They memorize the whole Bible and pass it on. They know that if they get caught, they're going to be killed. But for the love of God. Sometimes I sit back and I try to think, Pastor, it really messes me up. It does. It really messes me up because I'm like, if I die for any reason, I want to die for God. Huh? Think about that. If I die, we talk about that. I said, man, if I die for anything, let them kill me because I was preaching Jesus. Huh? Let them kill me because I was making a difference through the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. You understand what I'm saying to you? And the earth realm was my part of the earth realm that he had governed to me. It was actually shifting and changing, and we were seeing the power of the Lord. I don't want to die like a sucker. I don't want to die in disbelief. I don't want to die in hypocrisy. I don't want to die a play Christian. You understand what I'm saying to you? I want my life. I want them to put, you better put this on my gravesite. For God he lived and for God he died. You see? He said in verse 11, many times I had them punished in the synagogues to get them to curse Jesus. He said this, I was so violently opposed to them that I even chased them down in foreign cities. They, you know, because some of them took out. Some of them was spooked and they ran. Some of them was what I like to call today us Christians. You know, I saw this thing on BET, this comedian one time, and he was like, he said, we'd be talking about slavery back in the day. And he said, you know, I wish you wouldn't have broke me. I would have just kept on, you would have kept having to hit me. And then he said he had a dream and he could feel the lick one day. And he was a slave and the master said, do something. He said, I ain't. And then the master said, cha, he said, hey, whatever you say, master. See, it's real tough. It's real easy to be tough in Christianity when ain't nothing coming up against you. And half of the building in here won't ever have to worry about something coming up against you, because half of the building in here ain't ever going to sacrifice to the point to where Satan has to say, I need to pay you a little bit more attention because you seem to be for real. Let me go ahead and bless you today. Satan is not scared of you. Satan is not, watch this. Satan is only afraid of people who's got a relationship with God. Satan is only afraid of people who is in the presence of God. And I'm going to tell you why that is, because the actuality, to be in the presence of God means you have sacrificed so much. People think because they be praying, they in the presence of God. No, you're in the presence of your living room. See, you got to think about the magnificence of Jesus. You've got to think about the awesomeness of God. I mean, think about, I'm talking about, he said, let there be light. Poof, light. We're talking about God. And do you really think it is just so easily just to say, you know, fresh out of sin, I'm getting ready to go into prayer and I'm going to be in the presence of Jesus? I think the entrance into the presence is far more expensive than how we play it. You ain't going to tell me I wasn't in the presence. Sure, I will. How you going to tell me? Because if you was in the presence, something would be different. Something would be different. You know. Now let's go to Philippians chapter 3, verses 3 through 6. A lot of scripture today. Philippians chapter 3, verses 3 through 6. And he says this. Again, this is Paul. And now he's going to kick his pedigree. He says, for we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones that's truly circumcised. And back in the day when you were of the law, one of the ways to say that you were a believer was they circumcised you. Okay? But what Paul decreed in the New Testament when he came on the scene and began to operate under grace, he said, your circumcision has nothing to do with your foreskin, but it has everything to do with your heart. Now, you say, well, what about the women? Y'all wasn't counted back then. Y'all was considered to be secondhand citizens, so y'all wasn't counted in the census and all of that. So, brothers, when he was talking about the foreskin, he's like, that's over with. Now we want to see your heart be circumcised. Now, you know, when you think about circumcision, you know, you think about a cutting back. And that's a magnificent view of it, because when we are circumcised in the heart, it means we're cutting back, we're cutting out, we're cutting away from. And if you're ever going to really be saved, you're going to have to cut yourself away from some things. There's going to be some circumcision. Watch this. And I've learned that you don't go through one circumcision of the heart. You're going to go through plenty. In fact, you'll be circumcising all the days of your life. Lord, have mercy. He said, so for we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. What did he do for you? He died for you. We put no confidence in human effort, but in New King James and King James Version, I believe it says, we put no confidence in the flesh. Verse number 4, though I could have confidence in my own effort or flesh, if anyone could. You see him kicking his, So he says, indeed, if others have a reason to have confidence in their own efforts or their flesh, I have even more. He says, and he goes on and he says, and this is why, verse number 5, I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. That's custom. In those days, I am a pure blooded citizen of Israel. And a member of the tribe of Benjamin, and the tribe of Benjamin was major. It was you were somebody if you could connect yourself to the Benjamin bloodline. Amen. And watch this. He said, I'm a real Hebrew. He says I ain't these cats out here with purple shirts and a bullhorn out here spreading craziness. I'm a real, yeah, I said it. If anybody's watching online, I said that. he says, I'm a real Hebrew. Amen. Some of y'all saying, yeah, but would you say it to him? I did. In their house, I did. I did, yeah. House full of them. Got proof. See, because sometimes God wants to know if you'll say it in front of them. What you say when they ain't around. And I ain't never got a problem called ignorance. Foolishness. You understand what I'm saying to you? Get this. He says, a real Hebrew, if there was ever one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. Verse number 6, I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. There it is again. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. In the New King James, in the King James Version, it'll say, I obeyed the law. It said, and when it came to obeying the law, blameless. Wow. He says, so what I have done or attempted to do, so I want you to catch this. What I've done or attempted to do is to paint you a picture of a man, his ways, as well as his beliefs. Saul absolutely hated Jesus and the way. But then something happens, and as a consequence, nothing will ever be the same again. Let me show you what I mean. The book of Acts, chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. The book of Acts, chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. Book of Acts, chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. And it says, meanwhile, catch this, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest and he requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. As he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down on him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He says, who are you, Lord? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. And the voice replied, I am Jesus, the one that you are persecuting. Now this is deep because, and I make this point all the time, and I think I'll make it every time that I read this scripture. Jesus is in heaven, sitting on the right-hand side of the Father, but when he's calling out to Saul, he says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Watch this. Saul was persecuting the believers. He was persecuting the people who rocked with him and who was repping him and all of that. But Jesus said, hold on, no, you don't understand, Mr. Saul. When you persecute them, you persecute me. And some of you ought to get excited about that, because you got some haters in your life that is persecuting you for no other reason that you love the Lord. And you ain't got to cuss them out. You ain't got to write them back. You ain't got to text them. You understand what I'm saying to you? You ain't got to post about them on Instagram. God says, if I be for you, who can be against you? Yeah. If anybody in the building got haters, you ought to just go ahead and get excited. Amen. Watch this. Not that the Lord's going to take care of them, because watch this. You know that, but you get excited because you ain't got to. Somebody's got your back. I bind up every demonic spirit in the room right now. Every spirit, I decree and declare it to be still in Jesus' name. Every deaf and dumb spirit, I speak to it right now in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of distraction. Lose it. Lose it. Loose the portal now. So get excited, not at the demise of your enemies, because you know that you are maturing in the Lord when you can pray for your enemies. And Lord, when you handle it, give them the ability to bounce back better in you. Oh, God. You understand what I'm saying to you? Now, so get this. He says, and a voice replied, I am Jesus, the one that you are persecuting. Now get up, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Now catch this. Saul is headed to Jerusalem, uttering threats with every breath, and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. Now he has this experience with Jesus. Then Jesus says, now get up and go into the city, and you'll be told what to do. And what does Saul do? He gets up, he goes into the city, to the house that he's supposed to, and he waits while in prayer and fasting. And then God gets with a brother by the name of Ananias and tells him what to do concerning Saul. And when this is done, watch this, his name is changed from Saul to Paul. And let's look at this new man after an experience with Jesus. And so, in fact, what we're going to do is go back to Philippians. Go ahead. Philippians chapter 3. And I know I got you all over the place, but I want you to see what happens when one has truly experienced Jesus. You will know that you have truly experienced Jesus. One of the things, you might want to write this one down. You'll know that you've truly experienced Jesus when people who you are connected to begin to dislike you. And the reason that the people that you are connected to will begin to dislike you is because one of the things that happens when you begin to experience Jesus, when you begin to have a relationship with God, is you start realizing how dope God is. And if the dopest entity to ever exist thinks you all that, why shouldn't I?
All right, all right.
And this is a trip, because now, sister, you know who, and brother so and so, they don't get to take advantage of you like they used to. Huh? See, watch this, because the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth.
Yeah, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, what they used to ask you for, and the things that they used to do, and the ways that they used to act, they just can't do that no more, because you used to sit, you know, silent and quiet and passive and pushovery. Yeah, I made that word up. Actually, one of my friends made that word up. I'm just using it, amen. And so, but now you ain't quiet no more. You got a Patti LaBelle spirit. You got a new attitude. Amen. Look at Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 9, and I'm going to read these from the New Living Translation and with reason. Check this out. He said, Now, remember, he was talking about his pedigree. Remember a little while ago, you know, he was a real Hebrew if there ever was one. Remember, he was from the tribe of Benjamin. He was this, he was that, he was all that in a bag of chips, right? But look what he comes back and says, now since he's had an experience with Jesus, he says in verse number 7, I once thought these things was valuable. Whoa! He said, I once thought all that was valuable. Do you remember back in the day, do I got any felons in the house that will attest that there was a time that you thought the hot cars was all that? You thought the nice house was all that? You thought the chains and the jewelry was all of that? But you had an experience with Jesus, and you've come to understand that I thought those things was valuable. But now that I'm saved, I understand that I have know what it means to be rich, and I know what it means to be poor. I know what it means to be abased, and I know what it means to be abound. I know what it means to eat tuna fish, and I know what it means to eat steak. And I've come to the conclusion that I will be content in all things. All things. Yeah, I'm gonna be all right regardless. Amen. I'm all right if I can pay my bills on time. I'm all right if I need a continuance. You understand what I'm saying? I am content, and I'm able to be content not because I've come to some type of, but I'm able to be content because I have a peace that surpasses. I'm able to be content because I have God on my side. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Hey, watch this. Then he goes on in verse number 8, and he says, yes, everything else is worthless compared with my infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Listen, can I just go ahead and tell you, you begin to gain a value that is priceless as you begin to relationship with the Lord. And one thing that you'll do, if you ever go to a jewelry store where you know, I ain't talking about Dan's, and I ain't knocking nobody to go there. You understand what I'm saying to you? But I could steal from Dan's if I wanted to steal. They got flaws in the way they thing is set up. But when you go to K's, and when you go to Jared's, and when you go to, something like that, everything has got a special casing. Why? Because the values went up. I ain't knocking the castle, but the value goes down there. Why? Because somebody else done already had it. Watch. Oh, Lord, you missed that. When you become new, watch this, you become something that no one else has ever had. And the value shoots up. Oh, God. Oh, God. Lord, have mercy. Listen. Listen. He says, everything is worthless when compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. And notice what he says, Christ Jesus, my Lord. So there's a submission there. He's my Lord, indicating that he has rule over my life. For his sake, I have discarded everything else. Did you catch that? On the strength of Jesus, I have discarded everything else. Amen. Now watch this. He says, counting it all garbage so that I could gain Christ. Hold on. All of these things that was making him the man, all of these things that was making him special in his own mind, all of these things that everybody else, you know, gave him all of these props for, watch this. He was saying it's garbage. See, when you get into this place in Christ, what begins to happen is, everybody, get stop being distracted. Yeah, watching everything else and you miss what you came for. Yeah, don't worry about that. Ain't none that your business. This right here, your business. Amen. Shoot, I'll be having to talk to some of you about some of this next week. You better pay attention. Oh, I could be home watching Suits and stuff and calling me. That's not crazy. You better pay attention. is that what they, Lord, have mercy. Listen, he says, I discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ. Because guess what? Paul was saying, I can't keep what I used to think was important and keep him. I can't keep the way I used to think. I can't keep the way I used to act. I can only put on for so long. You understand what I'm saying to you? Because what the reality is, God can't share space with sin. Lord, have mercy. Verse number 9, he said, so the continuation of the last part of verse number 8 goes into 9, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. You'll never be able to become one with Christ trying to be one with everything else. Amen. Watch this. This is why you got to be careful who you hook yourself up to, because they should be trying to be at one with Jesus and not at one with you. Can I just go ahead and let me just go ahead and talk to some couples and some single people all at the same time? Can we do that? I once had a teaching. I heard a teaching one time by Francis Chan, and he said, and him and his wife Lisa, and they said, what happens when you see scuba divers is they jump in the water as a team, but every diver got its own tank. Watch this. And you know that when the tank runs out of oxygen, what happens is, you know, we begin to, you know, you get frantic, you get a little crazy, you don't know how to handle yourself because you ain't got no more air. But come here, baby. So me and Mary, we done scuba dived into the into the water, right? And she got a tank and I got a tank. Now I want to show y'all something because this is real right here. It's gonna teach something, I promise. But when her tank begins to get low, watch this, when my tank begins to get low, and it begins to, you know, act in a way that ain't, you know, sane, and it ain't what we normally do with all of this, watch this, she don't lose her mind because I have. Are y'all catching what I'm saying? See, what I'm trying to tell you is that she keeps her mind even if I've lost mine. She don't lose herself. She don't degrade herself. She don't belittle herself. She don't make it her fault. She don't say, this is all on me. No. Guess what she keeps doing? Because her tank is right. Because her tank is full, she just swims around looking at fish. And some of you in here need to stop losing your mind because of the people that you're connected to done lost theirs. Let them go, baby. Be able to make, you know, if you don't see that all, if you don't see that I'm all of that, then and you don't think that I got it going on, then you're going to miss all of this. But the moment you decide.
Thank you.
I ain't going to play myself because you don't know how to act. Yeah. How many of you know it's true? You connect yourself to something. Can I just go ahead and be 100 with y'all in here? And some of you ain't even got his last name. And he acts silly and you go crazy. Make that make sense. Anita, have a seat. Have a seat, honey. Look at this. He says, for his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all joy so that I can become at one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with him depends on faith. Look. I shared this with the men months ago. Stop putting so much emphasis in your will, your willpower. These are my issues. I'm going to work on stopping them. No, you're going to fail every time. That's why you've been trying to stop them for years and anybody been able to stop them yet. You want to know how you get to a place in God where you want to be? You pursue him. Because as long as you pursue him, you can't pursue him in sin. So we so worried about not sleeping around. We so worried about not cussing somebody out. We so worried about not stealing. We so worried about all of these things that people can see. The reality is all you got to do is decide you're going to pursue him. Ain't no sin in pursuit. You understand what I'm saying to you? See, he says, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Guess what hunger and thirsting is? It's pursuing. Pursue God, and the rest handles itself. See, but Satan would love to have you trying to stop this and trying to stop that. Baby, you're gonna be crazy. We all got 1,000 flaws. So I ain't going to worry about that. What I'm going to worry about is my pursuit. Because if my pursuit is for real, if my pursuit is on point, if my pursuit, you understand what I'm saying to you, it ain't hypocritical, it ain't playing no game, it ain't fronting, you know what I'm saying? If my pursuit is right, watch this, my life is right. Yeah. But when I'm just focused on my flaws, how many of you been trying to stop a certain couple of things for years? Guess what? Me too. And we in good company because Paul said, even when I want to do the right thing. Woo! Even when I want it. I mean, you got the apostles. Man, even when I... Could you imagine seeing the apostle Paul going, I mean, I'm all this in a bag of... I know God, and I still got some issues. Yeah. So I'm just going to pursue him. I'm going to get out of me, and I'm going to get in him. You see. Watch this. I'm almost done. Here we go. Here we go. What I want you to understand here is that when Saul, watch this, had an experience with Jesus, he didn't waver. He didn't go back and forth about what he should do. He didn't ask nobody. He simply submitted to Jesus. And he began to change the game. My question to you in here today is, are you changing the game? Since you have begun to experience Jesus, are you changing the game? Lord, have mercy. Get this. I want to show it to you, okay? Now, I want you to notice that the first thing that Saul gave up was his thinking. Let me prove it. Remember back when Jesus confronted Saul in Acts chapter 9? What did we see Saul do? He submitted. Let's go back and look at it, Acts chapter 9. And I'm going to read it in the New King James Version. It's going to blow your mind. Then we out, all right? Then Saul, Acts chapter 9, starting with verse 1. Then Saul, still breathing threats of murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked them for letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And now this is where it gets deep. Watch this. And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said, watch this, y'all ready? "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Is it hard for you to kick against the goads?" And what he means by that right there, he says, ain't it hard for you trying to stop something that's ordained? When you gonna stop tripping? And when you gonna see you ain't gonna be able to stop this thing right here? Watch this, and I want to show you something. Then, Saul, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Hold on. Immediately. Immediately is too long. Immediately. He said, "What you want me to do?" Then the Lord said to him, "Arise, go into the city, and you will be told what to do." Now look back at verse number 5. It says, "And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' Then Jesus said, 'I am Jesus.'" Lord, have mercy. The Lord responds, "It's me, Jesus." And in verse 6, it says, Paul was astonished. You know why he was astonished? Because he realized that all those years he'd been lied to. Can I just go ahead and prophetically decree that a whole lot of you have been suffering in life because you've been lied to a whole lot. And now the more that you begin to come into Christ, the more that you see a whole lot of what was said to you was foolishness, and you find yourself astonished, not just that somebody could lie as good as they do, but that you could be to the point to where you believed it. Oh. Paul, watch this. Paul, astonished and trembling. See, be careful. See, now he's spooked. Because he don't know how Jesus going to do this thing. Yeah. Now he understands Jesus done seen it all. And Jesus has actually connected himself to people that I've been persecuting. Oh, God. And guess what he says? Lord, first he acknowledges who he is. The same Jesus he hated 2 books ago, now he defines him Lord. And guess what he does? He asks for instruction. What you want me to do? Can I just go ahead and suggest to some of you in the building today, if you know God is God and he is Lord of your life, the only other question to ask him is, what do you want me to do? What you see right here is Saul experiences Jesus. And immediately there is a submission and a changing of heart. Lord, have mercy. And this is deep because in Proverbs 4 and 23, it says, above all, guard your heart, because the issues of life flow from it. And we see that to happen here with Saul. Jesus penetrates his heart, and as a result, Saul became all about Jesus. All from then on, only thing that came out of Paul's heart was Jesus. That's how it's supposed to look when you've had an experience with God. God penetrates your heart. There's no way that you can deny it. There's no way that you can play it off. It is what it is. And as a consequence, or as a result, rather, as a result, we should see more Jesus in you. Stop going around here, running around here talking about you love God and all of that, but you don't keep any of his word. Come on, come on. If you love him, why don't you look like him? If you love him, why don't we see characteristics of him flowing from you? If you love him, why don't you stay faithful to him? You know, many of us in here and all around the world, we deal with certain issues, and every sin is basically cheating on God. And I'm always amazed that in the earth realm, when there's been some infidelity, that people are surprised and upset. My question always is, and always was, well, if I could cheat on God, what make you think I wouldn't cheat on you? Maybe people been cheating on you because you've been cheating on God. And cheating doesn't talk cheating. Oh, Lord. Yeah. I don't know why they don't act right. God damn, up there talking about, I don't know why you don't act right. Amen. Yeah. So the name of the game is pursue. Pursue. And once you begin to submit and pursue, then you begin to mature. And you become big enough to say what you ain't gonna stand for no more. See, when you get grown, Mama can't make you eat what she wants you to no more. Oh, God, y'all missed that. You can actually say, I'm not eating that anymore. When you begin to mature in the Lord, you stop people from feeding you just anything. Amen. Amen. So today, I want you to declare, I'm changing the game. I am changing the game. Amen. I'm spooked, but I'm changing. I'm concerned, but I'm changing. Because it can't stay the way that it's been. Not anymore. Amen.
Let's give God a praise.